news came to Egypt, the death angel's coming. Get your house in order, prepare for that moment. A young boy is crying, 'cause he's scared of dying. But when morning's light, he finds he's alright, because of the blood placed over the door. My sin debt is paid, I'm not afraid anymore. The Lamb has been slain, and now I am free. The sentence of death has passed over me. Because of the blood. The preacher was preaching, judgment is coming. You better get ready and heed the warning. I too was crying, I knew I was dying. Forgive me, I pray. Because of the blood placed over the door, my sin debt is paid, I'm not afraid anymore. The Lamb has been slain, and now I am free. The sentence of death has passed over me. Over the door, my sin debt is paid, I'm not afraid anymore. The Lamb has been slain, and now I am free. The sentence of death has passed over me. I now live in His love, because of the blood.
Bibles this morning, we invite you to turn with us to the book of Matthew, chapter number 12,
verse 38. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. The men of Nineveh shall rise in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. And behold, a greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon, and behold, a greater than Solomon is here. That's the reading of the book of Matthew, chapter 12, verses 38 through 42, if correctly read. Father, we ask this morning that you might touch our weary body. Father, you might help us just for a little space of grace to stand and preach one more time. Father, we believe you spoke to our hearts about these verses. Lord, we believe that you told us that somebody was here that was needing this today. And maybe the flesh wars against us. Maybe it's the devil and his demons from hell. Maybe it's this old world, Father, that comes against us today. But Father, I pray for myself and this entire congregation that you would bind the thoughts and the demons and the old world, Father, and the flesh. And you'd help us, Father, that just for a little bit, we might see Jesus high and lifted up, exalted above measure. And Father, I pray that you'd help us this morning. God, touch our lips, our stammering lips of clay. Fill us with the Spirit of God and help us to speak directly this morning to that one or those two that need to hear the Word of God so desperately. Father, they've come in. Their world is upside down. And Father, this morning they're looking to you. God, would you help them today? For it's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. The Pharisees were questioning Jesus. They've been criticizing him, castigating him. They've been nitpicking at our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They said, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." I mean, what kind of sign are they looking for? Why, in verse number 13 of this chapter, Jesus healed a man with a withered hand. In verse number 15, the Bible said that all men and all women that came to see Jesus, that he healed them all. The Bible says in verse number 22, that they brought him that was one that was possessed with demons. And Jesus cast the demons out of the man that was dumb and that he was blind. And the Bible says that he both spake and saw after Jesus cast out the demon. Miracle after miracle after miracle. What more do they want? So they asked Jesus, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." And Jesus gave a remarkable response. He says, "An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but there shall be no sign given to it but the sign of Jonah." He said, "As Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." And watch what he says in verse 41. He says that the men of Nineveh shall rise up in judgment with this generation and shall condemn it because they repented at the preaching of Jonah. But behold, one greater than Jonah is here. And I feel like today we need to look at our situation, what's going on in our individual lives, in our families, in our community, in our nation, in our world in which we live. Yes, even this morning, Father, in all of our churches, Lord, you know all of our needs. And when I think about that today, I want to say this. One greater is here. I want to look at this thought. One greater is here. First of all, there's one greater than the prophet Jonah. Now, the Pharisees must have wondered at Jesus' bold statement. How can he be greater than Jonah? We know about Jonah. Let's think about his practical obedience. When God spoke to Jonah and said, "I want you to go to Nineveh and preach the word of God and tell them to repent," what did Jonah do? He turned and ran the other direction. He was disobedient. But I'm glad, praise God, we've got one greater than Jonah. Because when God was going to send someone to die for the sins of the world, Jesus did not tuck and run. Jesus willingly came to lay down his life that you and I might be saved. We know that Jonah, when he ran, God sent a great fish after him, a whale, and the whale swallowed him up. And for after 3 days and 3 nights, then Jonah prayed. He said, "Salvation is of the Lord." You realize this morning what a hard-hearted preacher Jonah was? You ever been like that? God getting your attention and bringing you to grips, trying to get you to pray, and you said, oh no, I'm not going to. I can get out of this. I can wiggle out of it. 3 days and three nights before that hard-hearted preacher would ever pray. What about that? But listen what Jesus said before his 3 days and three nights in the tomb. He prayed. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I'm glad, praise God, we've got one greater than Jonah. You remember Jonah when he was on board the ship there, right before they threw him out into the middle of the storm and the whale swallowed him. There's a great storm. And the sailors came and said, listen, the lots fell on you, son. What on earth have you done? He said, I'm running from God. Just go ahead and throw me overboard. I want to die in this storm. I'd rather drown as go preach to them Ninevites. And sure enough, they throwed him over. I remember Jonah was asleep in the boat when they found him. The Bible says there was a time when Jesus was asleep in the hinder part of the ship. And the Bible says the disciples came and woke him up and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Hey, Jesus didn't say, throw me overboard, boys. I don't know what I'm going to do. Jesus got up and said, peace, be still. And the winds and the waves calmed down. I want to say, praise God, Jesus is greater than Jonah. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends. Think about this now. When that whale swallowed Jonah, and after Jonah prayed, the whale vomited Jonah up on dry land. And there he went on into Nineveh to go and preach. And you know that whale, he had to swim off somewhere, off into the distance. And you know there had to come a time that whale died. Now if he didn't, you're looking at me funny like I think that's a supernatural fish. If he didn't, there's a 2,700-year-old fish still swimming around. I believe he died. And let me tell you something. The Bible says about Jesus, that thing that tried to swallow him up, his name was death. Amen. Jesus got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And there's going to come a day that death has to die. Amen. Death will be swallowed up in victory according to the word of God. What about in their preaching? I mean, I've talked about his practical obedience in his prayer, in his performance, but what about his preaching? Jonah preached one message. You better get right with God and repent, or judgment's going to fall. That was his message. But Jesus didn't just preach judgment. Jesus preached mercy. Woo! Jesus preached grace. Jesus preached compassion. Jesus preached forgiveness. Hey, I'm glad, praise God, that we've got one greater than Jonah who come to preach to us and die for us that we might be saved. Hallelujah. You think about old Jonah now. After that crowd he preached to, the Bible says when he preached to them, the whole city got right. Every single one of them got right. And Jonah got mad. But I'm glad we got one greater than Jonah today. When Jesus said over one sinner that repents, there is joy that repents. There is joy in the presence of the angel over that one that repents. Hey, Jesus has joy over one that repents. He's not angry. And when he comes again one day, he's coming in joy. Amen. He's coming to take us home. I'm glad there's one greater than Jonah here today. And I think about this, and I'll try to move off this point, but I think about those professions. You think about it. When Jonah came to preach to Nineveh, he didn't love a single one of them. He didn't care a thing about them. That's why he didn't want to go. But he preached to them anyway, and without any love or compassion in his heart for his congregation, the whole town got right. But Jesus come filled with love in his heart that men and mankind might be saved. He came into his own and his own received him not. Jesus is saying, if those strangers all fell in repentance at the preaching of Jonah, there's one greater than Jonah here and his name is Jesus Christ. Why can men not bow down and call on the name of Jesus? Amen. Second of all, not only is there one greater than the prophet Jonah, but there's one greater than the potentate Solomon. Jesus said, the queen of the south, verse 42, shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. Well, the Pharisees must have wondered at that statement. After all, it appeared to them that Jesus was the carpenter's son. Solomon was the son of King David. Solomon was born in Jerusalem. Jesus was born in a little place called Bethlehem. Solomon had many servants to wait on him hand and foot. Jesus had none. Solomon wore kingly robes made of silk and satin, but Jesus wore a peasant's garb. Solomon drank from vessels of gold. Jesus, when he was thirsty, had to go sit on the well, met by a Samaritan harlot. Solomon was rich beyond compare. Jesus appeared to be a pauper. Solomon had great armies that followed him, but Jesus only had a few stragglers that followed him. Solomon lived in palaces, but Jesus appeared to be homeless and did not have a place to pillow his head. Solomon had thousands of chariots and horses, and he rode in splendor while Jesus walked everywhere he went. To these Pharisees, how in the world could Jesus be greater than Solomon? I'm going to tell you how. He's greater in wisdom. Now, wait a minute, Preacher Darren. Solomon wrote the book of Proverbs, over 3,000 of them, and he memorized over 1,500 songs. He knew all about the created universe, and he wrote much about it. But Jesus had greater wisdom. You know why? Because Jesus is the one who made it all. Solomon, he wrote about the cycles of the wind. But Jesus knew exactly what caused the wind to begin. Amen? Solomon, he knew about how to take those ships. He had the greatest fleet of ships in history. And he knew how to navigate them on the sea. He learned how to take and use the wind for his advantage. But Jesus walked on that water. Amen. Jesus' wisdom is superior to anything Solomon ever thought about. What about his wealth? Would you turn back with me in 1 Kings chapter number 4? Solomon was an incredibly wealthy man. King Tut, Samuel Gates, they pale in comparison to Solomon's wealth. He had tons of gold, ivory, spices, frankincense. He had everything. Let's read about his table provisions. It's almost lunchtime, and some of you will be going out to eat or over to Grandma's house, and you'll think you've got the table spread for a king. But I want to read about a table spread for a king that old Solomon had in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse number 22. Solomon's provision for one day was 30 measures of fine flour and 80 measures of meal, 10 fat oxen, and 20 oxen out of the pastures, and 100 sheep, besides harts and roebucks and fallow deer and fatted fowl. That's one day. That was his provision for his table for one day. Look at it again. I didn't misread it. You're looking at me like Preacher Darren. You've lost, like a cow looking at a new gate. I've lost my mind. That was Solomon's provision for one day. He was the wealthiest king ever. You can read over in chapter 10 about how that Queen of Sheba, how she came from so far to hear about him. The Bible says in verse 3 of chapter 10, Solomon told her all of her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom and the house that he had built and the meat of his table and the sitting of his servants and the attendance of his ministers and their apparel and his cupbearers and his ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in mine own land of thy acts and of thy wisdom. Howbeit I believed not the words until I came, and mine eyes had seen it. And behold, the half was not told me. Thy wisdom and prosperity exceedeth the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men. Happy are these thy servants which stand continually before thee and that hear thy wisdom." Look at verse 14. The weight of gold that came to Solomon in one year was 603 talents of gold. That's 50,000 pounds of gold per year. Beside that, he had the merchantmen and of the traffic of the spice merchants and of all the kings of Arabia and of the governors of the country. King Solomon made 200 targets of beaten gold. 600 shekels of gold went to one target. Listen, I could read on and on and on. But I want to say this, as wealthy as he was, Jesus is greater. The Bible says about Jesus that he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. All the diamonds and all the rubies, everything that is, belongs to Him. He owns all of this world that we see and all of the glory world that we see by faith. Jesus is wealthier than the wealthiest. He is wealthier than Solomon ever thought about being. And when He said that He was greater than Solomon, it blew their minds. He's greater than Solomon in his works. What do you mean? Well, Solomon built this palace for himself, and it took 13 years for him to complete it. And I got to thinking about that. Jesus said in John 14, He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Solomon built himself a palace, but Jesus is building all of us one. I feel preaching coming on now. Solomon invited people to his great feast, but Jesus took 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes and fed 5,000 men, not to mention the women and the children. Hey, you go ahead and have all the lambs and the rams and all the oxen that you want, but Jesus can feed me with just a few loaves and a few fishes. Amen. Jesus is greater in workers. Solomon had all kind of attendants and servants, and the Bible says that his workers were happy. You heard the Queen of Sheba say, "I'm just amazed, all your servants are happy." Most times servants, they grumble. She said, "Solomon, all of your workers are happy." I don't say this, Jesus is greater. I'm glad we got one greater than Solomon, right? Like, hey, I'm not just happy. He's filled me with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. I like what she said. She said, "The half has never been told me." Remember one thing and we'll move on. Solomon was a great king, but Jesus is King of Kings. We got one greater than Solomon this morning. Now, preacher, where are we going next? Look back at Matthew chapter 12 one more time. He's greater than the prophet Jonah. He's greater than the potentate Solomon. Thirdly, He's greater than the place of worship. Look at verse number 6 in chapter 12. Jesus said, "But I say unto you that in this place is one greater than the temple." Boy, the Pharisees must have wondered at that remarkably bold statement that Jesus was greater than Jonah, at that bold statement that Jesus was greater than Solomon. But for him to say that he was greater than the temple, they can hardly believe it. I mean, that was the place of worship. Solomon built that temple. It had the most glorious, magnificent, it was the most glorious, magnificent building that had ever been built. It was made of wood, but overlaid with gold. I want you to know that in that place was the Holy of Holies. And where God said, "I'll meet with you between the cherubims." And the high priest could only go back there one time a year. How in the world could Jesus be greater than the temple when it was such an awesome place of worship? But let me say this. Jesus has built a greater temple. The Bible says, "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you?" He took a bunch of old unworthy sinners and saved our souls, hallelujah, and moved inside His very presence and His Spirit, and He's filled us with His glory, and He's filled us with His Spirit, and He's filled us with His presence. Our temple and where He dwells is much greater than that temple over there in Jerusalem. Woo, hallelujah to God. He's greater than the place of worship. I got one more and I'm done. Preacher, where are we going next? I want to say this to you. He's greater than Jonah. He's greater than Solomon. Do you agree? He's greater than the temple. Do you agree? Are you listening to me? He's greater than the problems we face. You coming this morning? Well, I did too. I was sick, not feeling good, come in low. It's all I could do to smile, not felt good, wanted to hear the choir sing. But He's greater than the distress that I have in my life. He's greater than my desperation. He's greater than my depression. He's greater than my discouragement this morning. He is greater, amen, than the state of distress that the devil would try to put in your life. Jesus Christ is greater than the situation that you face this morning. Hey, the Bible says, listen, he's even greater than death. Amen. Hey, the Bible says to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Bless his holy name. I want to say to you this morning, church, and I'll be done. Jesus told me this week as I prayed, he said, you go tell them. There's people there that are struggling. They've got problems. They're in a place they've never been in before. They don't know how they're going to overcome. They don't know where they're going to turn. They don't know what they're going to do. Satan has tried to discourage them so many times. He said, you go tell them. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He said, you go tell them, I'm greater. Preacher Darren, I've lost my job. I've lost my bank account. Jesus is greater. He can replace that, make up the difference, and go even beyond that. Amen. Preacher Darren, I've got a disease. I've got a problem. I've got a diagnosis. I want to tell you something. There is one in this place that is greater, and his name is Jesus Christ. I look over this congregation today and I see many of you. Man, you've had issues, you've had disease, you've had diagnosis, you've had problems, you've had worries, you've had concerns. I'll tell you something, you're still here. Jesus has took care of you. Where in the world would you have been without his help? So I want to say this morning in closing, youngins, are you looking at me? There's one here today. He said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And there's one here this morning that's greater. He's greater than your burdens. He's greater than your prayer requests. Amen. We need to get beyond praying with our experience, and we need to start praying by faith. He is greater. Maybe somebody here today, you say, Preacher Darren, I need to go to the altar because... But boy, it sure was refreshing when I come in and that choir started singing words that I needed to hear. And when I started looking in the Word of God, I found out that there's one greater than my need, one greater than my situation.